Happy Valentine's Day weekend to everybody. All the husbands in here are like, wait, what? What? Husbands, we did remember Valentine's Day, right? Can I get an amen from all the husbands who remembered Valentine's Day? All right. If they didn't remember Valentine's Day, you know they're not here right now, right? We need to pray for them. They're probably in the hospital. We gave our kids some chocolate on Valentine's Day. And our two-year-old little girl, Naomi, walks up after we give them the chocolate. And I don't know where she got this from. But our two-year-old little girl, Naomi, walks up and she says, chocolate is my whole life. How many of y'all know she takes after her mama, right? But if you're in the doghouse today after Valentine's Day, I got you covered. Don't worry. Or if you don't have a Valentine, actually, I've got you covered as well. I've scoured the internet, which is usually a bad way to start any story. But I've scoured the internet for the best, most romantic one-line pickup lines for everybody in here to bless y'all with today. And these are, if you don't have Valentine, they're going to make her fall for you. And if you already have your Valentine, it's going to make her remember why she fell for you, right? Okay, so I'm just going to jump right in it because I'm going to bless y'all with it. This is free of charge. You can use these. You don't have to credit me, okay? All right, so here's the first one today. Are you from France? Because I fell for you. Eiffel? Eiffel for you? I don't know. You'd have to text that one. The second one is this. Do your legs hurt? Because you've been running through my mind all day. Okay. Write this down, guys. Write this down. Here's the next one. Are you Israeli? Because you Israeli beautiful. My wife's Armenian, so I used that on her this week. It works, okay? The next one. Is your name Google? Because you're everything I'm searching for. Okay. Write these down. All right. And last but not least, this is my favorite one. If a fat man puts you in a bag one night, don't worry. I told Santa, all I want for Christmas is you. That will take a little while for you to get. Thank you, Internet. Again, you can use those free of charge, okay? Free of charge. But hey, how's everybody liking our life series so far? It's been pretty good, right? Man, yeah, that's right. That's right. It's been great. It's been great. If you're new here with us this morning, we usually take Februarys as a church, and we kind of focus in while everybody is talking about Valentine's Day, thinking about Valentine's Day, all that stuff. We take Februarys to kind of focus in with some of our messages on relationships. And what we do is we try and take a look at God's word. We try and take a look at the Bible and what God has to say about our relationships. And how many of you guys know that since God created relationships, he's probably the best source for us to go to on the matter, right? Amen. But this series is called Life. And what does that have to do with relationships? It comes from the book of James, chapter 4, verse 14. And the scripture says, what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. You're a mist. And basically it's talking about your life here on earth, the seen physical life that we live. And so many times we try and we fill up our life with things that are just the mist that's here today and gone tomorrow. We fill up our life with social media. We fill up our life with Netflix binge watching. We fill up our life with our career. We fill up our life with our bank accounts. And we fill up our life with all these things. It's just a mist that's here today and gone tomorrow. But the Bible says that we need to structure our life around the things that are eternal and the things that are truly important. And the first thing that I think we all know is that God's eternal. We all get that. But the reason that we're calling this series Life is that there's over 6 billion other eternal things that are walking around this planet that you can invest in, that you can pour into, that you can build up and structure your life around building up those eternal things. People, relationships, that is what our life should truly be about. It's about God, our relationship with him, and our relationship with people. And today, I just kind of want to try and tie a bow on this series, because this is the last message in our life series. And next week, I'm incredibly excited. Pastor Ben is going to be starting a new series on the book of James. And it's going to be absolutely incredible, because if you ever read the book of James, it's just verse after verse after verse. It's just so rich and so full, and I'm incredibly excited. Pastor Ben's got some amazing messages planned for you, so you're definitely going to want to be here next week. So, but today's message, the last message in our series on life, I want to try and tie a bow on the series, and I'm just going to jump right in. The title of the message today is A Lifestyle of True Love. A Lifestyle of True Love. Now, week one, we looked at the importance of relationships, and Pastor Ben did an incredible job with that. The importance, the absolute paramountness of relationships in our life, how incredibly important they are. And then last week, we talked about conflict, because y'all all know that in relationships, conflict comes up. But last week, we talked about how we need to not fight against people, we need to fight alongside people. And so, honestly, I think the last two messages were more like your typical church messages. And by that, I mean they stir you up. They get you excited on Sunday morning, right? And but then when you're at Piccadilly an hour later, you're kind of like, wait, what were we talking about? I know it was good. I know that I felt something, but like what was it, right? So today what I want to do is I want to preach not to your Sundays, but I want to preach to your Monday through Saturday. Can I do that? Can I do that? Okay, all right. Two of y'all are excited about that. That's amazing. But I want to talk about how do we take that good feeling, how do we take that excitement maybe, or that conviction, whatever it is that you felt last week, whatever you felt week one, and I want to talk about taking that and applying it to our life from Monday through Saturday, about having that lifestyle that's defined by the love that we've been talking about the last 2 weeks. How do we have a lifestyle of true love? And whether that's with your marriage, whether that's with your kids, whether that's with your parents or your boss or your coworkers, whether that's with friends, whether that's the people in your small group, whether that's complete strangers, I don't know what it is. But I want to talk about how do we get this lifestyle of true love. I want us to strive for it, this life that's defined by true love. And now the dictionary defines a lifestyle as this: the habits, attitudes, tastes, moral standards, economic level, etc., that together constitute, that make up the mode, the way of living of an individual or a group. It's the habits, the things that you do every single day, the habits that you have, the attitudes, the way of thinking that you do. In so many ways, it's our lifestyle that kind of defines us. It's our lifestyle that defines us. And I want us to be as a church. I want us to be a church, a group of individuals that together make up one body. I want us to all individually and together be marked by love, to be defined by a lifestyle of love. And listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 13, verse 35. Jesus said, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. This is what defines you. This is what identifies you. If you love one another. Now, so many times as Christians, I feel like, you know, we feel like what defines us, what identifies us, like people will know that I'm a Christian. People will know that I've been touched by the eternal love of the Savior. People will know that I have had my life radically changed because I've got that fish bumper sticker on the back of my car. No, anybody? So maybe it's not the fish bumper. Maybe people are going to know I'm a Christian. People are going to know that I follow Jesus because today I brought my lunch to work in the Lifeway shopping bag that has the Bible verse on it. You know, like, people know that I'm a Christian because I did that. No. Or maybe sometimes it's, you know, people are going to know that I'm a Christian because I shared that Bible verse on social media. People know, I'm identifying with Jesus because of all these things. And I'm not saying that those things are bad. I don't want you to think I'm making fun of them at all. I'm not at all. I'm not saying those things are bad, but I do want to say that those aren't the habits that we're talking about. Those aren't the habits that we're talking about this morning. Those aren't the things that identify us as Christians. And what I want to do today is I want to look at some habits, because as Christians and just as people in general, a lot of times we're more prone to be more concerned with labels than we are with love. A lot of times it's just in our heart and in our mind that we're so concerned about the labels, the things on the outside, than we are with the actual act of love. And so today, what I want to do is I want to look at three things that we can do consistently every single day that will reshape and redefine your lifestyle to where you can have a lifestyle of true love. And now, Jesus says that the way that you live, the way that you love, either points people to him or points people away from him. So we're going to look at these three small daily habits that you can do every single day to make sure that you're living a lifestyle of love. And if you're not taking notes right now, I will not be offended if you take your phone out and you write them down. Because again, I'm not preaching to you today. I'm preaching to you tomorrow through Saturday, okay? I'm preaching to you tomorrow through Saturday. And so there's three small daily changes. Now, John Maxwell says this. He says that a series of small, smart choices completed consistently over time results in a radical change. Right? So which way is east? Is it this way? Is that way east, right? Is that way east? Okay. So if I'm facing east right now, okay, I'm not looking at you. I'm facing east. If I walk this way for like 2 years, eventually I'll get to Disney World, right? Is that this way? No, southeast. I'm going to have to walk through some water, okay? But that's all right. I have a kayak. It's all right. Anyways, but look, if I turn just this much and I walk 2 years, I'm not in Disney World anymore, am I? I'm in D.C. How much did I change? Did you see that small little change I just made? Did anybody see that? That's all I did. That's the only change I made. I made a small, tiny, small little change, but over time, it results in a radically different outcome. A radically different outcome. So what I want to do for us today is take you from here and just do this. Can we all turn this much? Can we turn this much today, everybody? Yes. Amen. So what are these three habits, three things you do every single day? These three things. The first one is this. Make a habit of serving. Make a habit of serving. Make a habit of serving. Every single day, if you would ask yourself, how can I serve somebody? How can I serve somebody? How can I serve somebody? Because true love serves. True love serves. True love serves. It's not a selfish thing. True love serves. Mark 9:35. This is Jesus speaking to the disciples. They're asking, who's going to be the greatest? Who's the best? And this is what Jesus says. He sat them down. He called them over. He said, whoever wants to be first, whoever wants to be the greatest, whoever wants to be great, must take last place and be the servant of everyone else. And I love how Jesus says it too. He doesn't leave any questions there. He doesn't say, and be the servant of the people you like. Amen, right? If it was just be the servant of your family, like that would be easy. And maybe it wouldn't for some of y'all. I don't know about that. He doesn't just say be the servant of the people you like, the people that it's easy. He said be the servant of everyone. That means every day, I don't know about you, but every day I'm coming into contact with someone. So every day we need to ask ourselves, how can I serve somebody? And I think with service, sometimes we get, when we talk about with other people, showing God's love to other people, it makes you nervous. It makes you kind of like cringy in your chair because you're like, I think I'm going to have to preach a sermon to them. And like, I'm going to have all the right words. And, you know, if I want to show the love of God, I mean, just saying that the words, it sounds so huge, doesn't it? I want you to share the love of God with somebody, right? And it's just, you get a little like, you know, intimidated. Oh, my goodness. You're like, this person is a sinner, and I've got to go show them God's love, and somehow they're going to get saved, and their life is going to change because of something that I do. And I want to tell you this, is that it's not your job to save people. It's not your job to save people. You're not supposed to save people, but you are supposed to serve people. You're not supposed to save people. You're supposed to serve people. God, the Holy Spirit, is the only one who saves. You read that over and over in the scripture. We do what we do and God does what he does. There's no message that I ever preach. There's nothing that I ever do that saves somebody. It's only the amazing, perfect, eternal work of God that saves people. But when we serve them, we point them to him. So don't get intimidated by showing the love of God to somebody. It's not your job to take them from death to life. Jesus is the one who does that. It's your job to just say, hey, how can I serve you today? How can I serve you today? Ask the question every single day. How can I serve someone today? Pick up donuts on the way to work for people in your office. That'll make you popular, right? Leave 5 minutes earlier. Stop by Mary Lee's on the way. How can you serve people today? Offer to cut your neighbor's grass. Right? Or do some handiwork around their house. Spouses, do that thing that they're always asking you to do without them asking, right? I heard some female amens there. Okay. Let me put it in layman's terms for everybody, okay? Can I break it down a little bit? Everywhere you go, act like you're a Chick-fil-A employee and they're in your restaurant. I think that's a pretty clear picture, right? Honey, would you mind doing the dishes? My pleasure. Yeah. And you know what? You can even do it on Sunday, all right? Hey, Bob, can you get those reports to me by the end of the day? My pleasure. Do you mind if I cut in line? My pleasure. Jesus says we're supposed to serve people, but he doesn't just command it, he illustrates it. And I want us to look at John chapter 13. It's a story where Jesus is with his disciples. It's one of the very last things that he does before he goes to the cross. And how many of y'all know that the first thing you do and the last thing you do is some of the most important things, right? He's showing us how important this is by the timing of when he does it. And what he does is he takes all of his disciples together and he gets down and it says that he takes off his normal clothes, like outer on the top. And what he does, he ties it around his waist and he goes and he gets a bowl of water. He starts to wash every single one of their feet. He washes all the disciples' feet. And now to us, that's kind of, we don't necessarily get it as much today because for the most part, everybody's feet are kind of clean. Some of y'all are like, no, I don't know about that. Can you really call a foot clean? You know, it's a foot, you know. But in those days, they wore flip-flops everywhere. And they didn't have paved roads. And instead of Cadillacs, they were riding camels. And how many of y'all know you don't want to be behind the exhaust of a camel? So they were sharing roads with camels and donkeys and horses and sheep and goats. And they were all letting out some exhausts, right? And how many of y'all know they didn't have indoor plumbing? So when you had to go at night, there was a bucket, and in the morning, where'd you throw it? In the street. So Jesus is showing us how to serve people, how to love people by all 12 of these disciples who had flip-flops on for days and days and days and days, have been walking everywhere in the dirt and in the mud. And in the exhaust, day after day after day after day. And here's the God of the universe who created every single one of them, who knew the number of hairs on their head, who created them, who formed them, who knew when they were born, who knew the day that they were going to go to heaven. He knew everything about them. He all-powerful God. And he gets down and he washes the mud and the dirt and the muck and the yuck off of their feet. This is the lowest of the low job. Like even the servants, even the slaves were like, I think it's your day, right? Like this, it's not you, right? Nobody wanted to do this. But Jesus illustrates it. That's nasty service. That's not the service we want to talk about, right? That's nasty service. That's cleaning somebody else's toilets kind of serve. Like, you don't want to do that. Nobody wants to do that. And that's what Jesus wants to show us. And this is what he says in John chapter 13. When he's done, this is what he says. He puts back on his clothes. He returns to his place. And he says, "Do you understand what I've done for you?" He asked them. "You call me teacher and you call me Lord. You call me greater than you. And rightly so, because that's what I am. But now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I've done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant's greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. But now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." That's how people will know that you love Jesus, is when you serve them the way that nobody else wants to serve them. You serve them the way that nobody else wants to serve them. This is how people will know that you love me, is how you love people, how you serve people. And I love the promise at the end of it, because it's a reminder that even this kind of service, even this nasty kind of service, and it was nasty. Even this nasty kind of service, Jesus says that serving is not a burden, it's a blessing. Serving is not a burden, it's a blessing. So that's the first habit. Every single day, wake up, let your head hop off the pillow, and ask the question, how can I serve somebody today? Make a habit of serving. The second thing is this. Number two, make a habit of worshiping. Make a habit of worship. What does that have to do with people? You're talking about people, now you're talking about God. One thing is one thing is different. True love worships, though. I want us to look at it. True love worships. Jesus was a worshiper. And true love comes from a connection to the source of true love. True love comes from the connection to the source. God is love, and he is the source of true love. So the question I want us to ask, the second question every day, is how can I go deeper in my faith today? Because it's near impossible to fall deeper and deeper in love with God and still maintain a lifestyle of selfishness. It's near impossible to fall more and more and more in love with Jesus and still maintain a lifestyle of selfishness. Now, maintaining your closeness with God is important with relationship. You're like, it might seem disconnected, but maintaining your closeness with God is important because there are days, there are going to be days, if you haven't already experienced some already, there are going to be days where the only reason that you love some people is because God commanded you to. Nobody knows what I'm talking about this morning. I love you. I forgive you, right? This, the clenched teeth kind of love, right? But maintaining your closeness with God is important for that reason. And check this out. Jesus doesn't separate the two. There's a story that we've all heard before, right? Where the man comes up to Jesus and he asks Jesus, what's the most important thing? What's the most important commandment that I can follow? One thing, what's the most important thing that, like, if I don't do anything else, what's that one thing? Everybody say one thing. What is the one most important thing? And Jesus replied this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Love God. Worship God. Have that relationship with him. But then he says, go on to the next one. That's the first and greatest command. And the second is like, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. Now, they asked Jesus what the most important commandment was. Singular. One. But Jesus gave them two. Why did Jesus give them two? They didn't ask for two. They asked for one. But in Jesus' eyes, they're inseparable. So many times we want to focus on one or focus on the other. But Jesus says to us, they're inseparable. You ask me, what's the most important thing? What's the one most important thing? These are the most important thing. These two are the one most important thing. They're together. They're inseparable. You can't love God without loving people. You can't love people fully without loving God. You can't do both. You can't do both. They didn't ask for two, but Jesus gave them two because in his eyes, they're inseparable. And so what I want to say to us today is make a habit of worshiping. Ask the question every day, how can I go deeper in my relationship with God? How can I go deeper? And that doesn't have to mean like, okay, I did my Bible study for 10 minutes yesterday. I got to do it for 10 hours today. I'm not saying that. Sometimes growing deeper in your relationship with God is doing the same thing you did yesterday. Maintaining that change of direction that you had. Maintaining the habit of seeking Him. Maintaining it. Now, this is the one thing I want to say. If you love people, but not God, you're fooling them. But if you love God, but not people, you're fooling yourself. Because if you love people, but not God, you're not loving them fully enough because you're not able to point them to God, the source of the most fulfillment that they can ever get in their life. So if you love people, but you don't love God, and you don't point them to God, you're just fooling them. But if you love God, but not people, you're fooling yourself. Because God says, if you love me, you're going to love the people in your life as well. So make a habit of serving and make a habit of worshiping. And here's the last one today. The third one is make a habit of giving. Make a habit of giving. True love gives. True love gives. Ask the question every day, how can I give something of value to somebody today? How can I give value to somebody today? Give something that I value. How can I give something of value to somebody today? John chapter 3, verse 16. We've all heard it before. John 3, 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved, his love was so big that it translated to giving. God loved so much that he gave. He loved so much that he gave. Loving somebody and giving go hand in hand. Loving somebody and giving something to them goes hand in hand. If we want to have a lifestyle of true love, what we need to do is we need to start making a habit of every day giving something to somebody. Every day we need to make a habit of giving. Now, after church, my family, we love going to a restaurant called Qdoba. Has anybody ever eaten at Qdoba before? Okay. All right. Sounds good. There we go. The queso is incredible. It's like Mexican food. Oh my goodness. The queso, I could drink it out of a straw. It's so good. I absolutely love Qdoba. But, we normally on Sundays, we like to go to Qdoba. And, but it's really cool because the setup is by Town Center. So it's really close. There's a Starbucks right by it. Sometimes there's an ice cream shop, you know, the frozen yogurt, will hit that one too. And, I'm planning on doing that today after church, but the problem is we've got five kids. Not three. We got three kids. We're a family of five is what I'm trying to say is. Not really. Three. Seriously, it's just three. Okay. I'm not prophesying Jesus, please. I didn't mean to prophesy that. Take that one right back. But anyways, we're a family of five with three, count them, one, two, three kids. And y'all know that when you do something, just you and your wife, it costs this much. But then when you have three more human beings added to the mix, it gets a little more expensive, right? We're outnumbered, you know. So with Qdoba, with Starbucks, with Minchies or Yogurtland or whatever it is after, usually like a nice little Sunday afternoon comes out to like $100. Like, oh, all right. I know, but I was wondering, does anyone in here have $100 they could give to me? Steve-O, you got me? You got me? Awesome, Steven. Thank you, bro.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Steven. That's awesome. Yeah. Thank you, bro.
Yeah, y'all give it up for Steven. I'm just kidding. But yeah, let's move on. Next thing. Not really. Some of y'all are like, I don't want to move on. What just happened? Yeah, some of y'all are trying to figure out what's happening right now. Why did he do that? Some of y'all are asking, maybe feeling guilty. Why didn't I do that? You know. So I want to take a moment right now and just give everyone else in here the opportunity. We're not going to move on right now. I see that hand. Are there any more? The little altar call with some Benjamins. Some of you guys got some visitors with you today. You're like, no, it's a money grabbing church. No, it's another one of them. But why was Stephen so fast? Like right when I said his hand shot right up, he was in the back. I don't know if y'all said that. Why was he so fast? Given that $100, why was it so easy for him? Well, before the service. Before the service, I gave Stephen this $100 bill. And I told him there's going to be a time where I'm going to ask for $100. And what I need you to do is stand up and walk right up to the front. Give him $100 back. Why was it so easy for him to give? It was because this $100 wasn't his. I don't know if y'all know this, but we're God's delivery service. We're God's UPS, not God's Amazon. Oh my goodness. Oof. We're God's UPS service. And if Jen had made somebody some cookies in her family and we were about to send it off and we got USPS to come pick it up and the postal service worker got the box and they just opened it up and they started eating all the cookies, we'd be pretty mad, wouldn't we? You know, like, what are you doing? Well, you handed it to me. You know, I thought it was mine. He said, you know, you're the delivery person. And now the reality is this, is that we would be a whole lot more apt to give if we realized that everything that we have isn't our own. Everything that we have is not our own. Living is giving. If that delivery person ate the cookies, I would say, you're supposed to give that to somebody. There's somebody that package had somebody's name on it that you were supposed to bring it to. And the same thing is true of all the gifts that we have been given in our life, is that they're not our own. We all believe it and we say it over and over and over again that I'm blessed so I can be a blessing. But do we live like that? I'm blessed so I can be a blessing. We're God's delivery service and he gives us things so that we can give them away. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says this. It says, don't you know that your bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you, who you receive from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. The blood of Jesus has bought you. You're not your own. And the minute you say, Jesus, take my life, he took you at your word. Your life is not your own. Well, James chapter 1 says this. It says, every good and every perfect gift is from above. It comes from the Father. Everything that we have, every second of every day is not our own. And it may sound radical to you this morning, but I can't shy away from it because it's the truth. Every second of every day I have is not my own. Every cent of every dollar that comes in my name is not my own. The life that we are living, as we wrap up this life series, I want to encourage you, the life you're living is not yours. It's that $100 that God has given to you to pour out to others. The life you're living is not your own. Now, in the story of the Good Samaritan, you guys have heard that. This is the last thing, and I'm going to close with the story of the Good Samaritan. But in the story of the Good Samaritan, Jesus tells a story of this Jewish man who was traveling. And as he was on his way, he was attacked by robbers and beaten and left for dead. And they stole all of his money. They stole everything. He was left naked and beaten, left for dead. But as he's sitting there lying in the ditch, it says that two religious people came up on him. But what they did was they crossed on the other side of the road. They wouldn't even acknowledge him, right? They kept on walking. And then the third person who comes into the story is this Samaritan man, who that doesn't mean anything to us today. We think Samaritan's purse, or we think of, you know, good Samaritan. What a Samaritan meant was it was this man's mortal enemy. It was not somebody he would have talked to, not somebody he would have liked. In fact, the Samaritan would have been a victim of racial oppression his entire life because of this man's people. And especially in this current climate today, y'all know that they probably would not have got along. But what does Jesus say this Samaritan man did? Does he come over to him and spit on him while he's down? Does he say, yeah, that's right, you got what you deserved? It says, a Samaritan man walked up to him, beaten, bruised, broken, with all he had taken away. It says he took him in his hands. He started to bandage his wounds. He started to take care of him. He had gotten down off of his donkey and put him on it instead. He walked him to an inn. And he paid for, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks of rent for him to stay there and get healthy. And he even said, look, if it costs more to take care of him, just put it on my tab. No matter what it costs, I want him taken care of. Now, in that story, there's three mindsets. There's three lifestyles. There's three attitudes. There's the robbers who came up on him and said, what's yours is mine, so I'm going to take it. We all know that's evil. We all know that's wrong. But then there's the religious people that come along and they say something that I think a lot of people in 2019 America say every day without even knowing it. And they say, what's mine is mine, so I'm going to keep it. But then along comes the Samaritan. And he says, what's mine is not mine, so I'm going to give it. How do we have a lifestyle of true love? How do we have a lifestyle of true love? We reflect the heart of God in what we do. We serve people. We worship. We stay close to our God. And we give. Because we know that those $5 we give to somebody, we know that those $20, we know that those 10 minutes sometimes is more valuable than $10, right? Every second of every day is not mine anymore. What's mine is not mine, so I'm going to give it. And the thing is, we're reflecting exactly the heart of God, because God looked down at you. He looked down at me. He looked down at every single one of us. And he didn't say, what's mine is mine, so I'm going to keep it. The Samaritan is the picture of Jesus who, we didn't deserve it. We were sinners. We had messed up. We had sinned against him. And Jesus said, what's mine is not, it's yours. My righteousness, it's yours. My life, given on the cross, it's yours. And if God looked down at you and he looked down at me and he said, what's mine is yours, what's holding us back from doing the exact same thing to the people in our lives? If God's done it for me and he's done it for you, what's holding us back from giving? What's holding us back? Samaritan man said, what's mine is not mine, so I'm going to give it. And maybe even a different attitude. He said, what's mine is God's, so I know that you need it. Man, as we walk out today, don't, please, please, please don't walk out today just excited. That would be a huge failure on my part if you walk out today and you're just excited, or you're just touched, or you're just convicted. Please walk out today with those three things in mind, saying Monday through Saturday, I'm going to serve somebody. I'm going to worship. I'm going to give something of value to somebody today, even if they don't deserve it. Because when we do that, we reflect the heart of God and we live the lifestyle of true love. Let's make those small choices every day. Let's shift that direction, just that small bit. Doing those three small things every day and see a radical change and a radical difference in our lives. Now, what I want to do as we kind of close out I want to take a time where everybody just bow your head and close your eyes. Some of y'all in here, maybe you haven't received God's gift of true love. You know, you've heard us talking about it. You've heard us talking about how God has given up, how God's given up his life for us. Some of y'all haven't accepted the gift of true love. Y'all haven't accepted Jesus' gift. And now what he did was more than anything anybody can ever do for you. What he did was he gave his life for you. You were a sinner and you couldn't get to God by yourself. But what Jesus did was he died on the cross and gave his life so that we could take hold of his life, so that our sins could be washed away, so we could be made new, so we could walk in that new life that he's given us. And if that's you today and you're saying, I need my sins washed away, I need to walk in a new life, I want to give my life back to Jesus because he's given his life to me. If that's you today, we want to just take an opportunity to pray with you. If that's you, just go ahead and throw your hand up in the air. Nobody's looking around. Awesome. We're going to take our time here, everybody. That's incredible. I see anybody else want to join? Two hands. That's incredible, y'all. Anybody else? Well, this is what I want to do. I want the whole church to just pray out loud. Help those two who raise their hands. And it's not the words that save you. It's the heart behind it. Giving your life back to Jesus. So what I want to do, I'm gonna say this prayer, but I want everybody, if you raise your hand or not, to repeat these words after me. Say, Dear Jesus, I thank you for giving your life for me. I thank you that you showed me true love. And that you died for me, even when I didn't deserve it. I know I've been a sinner, but I want to turn my life back around. I want to give my life to you. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen.